Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 66. In today's episode, we're excited to have a conversation with a wonderful colleague. She's a translator, teacher, fellow podcaster, and an expert on audiovisual translation and tools and technology for translators. She's been working as a translator for over 20 years and has grown and diversified her business during that time. So we're really excited to hear from her about ways to grow a sustainable business while doing what you enjoy. We're very happy to welcome Hafa Lombardino to the podcast. Hafa was born in Brazil and has been living in California since 2002. She became a professional translator in 1997. She is also certified by the American Translators Association in both English to Portuguese and Portuguese to English, and has a professional certificate in Spanish to English translations from UC San Diego Extension, where she started teaching translation classes in 2010, including Tools and Technology in Translation, which was also released in book format. Hafa is the president and CEO of Word Awareness, hosts the Translation Confessional podcast, and specializes in technology, marketing, HR, EH&S, education, health and wellness, audiovisual, and literature. These are a lot of specializations. But welcome to the podcast, Hafa. We're so happy that you're here with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And yes, it's a long list there when you've been doing the same thing for 25 years and trying to add more tools to your belt. Yeah, that's a long list there.
Definitely good, but shows diversification, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more about this. Welcome, Hafa. So excited to have you with us. I love listening to your podcast and following you on social media. So very excited to have you here on our podcast. So first, we'd love to know more about you and give our listeners a chance to learn more about you. So please tell us about your business, what services you offer, when and how you started your career, and how it has evolved over time.
Yes, so I was born in Brazil, 1980, and right out of high school, I started teaching English as a second language to Brazilians, to children 4 to 40 years old. Sometimes the 4-year-olds did a lot better and were less nervous than the 40-year-olds. And at the same time, I started translating because people would just stop by the language school and have something that they needed to understand for work or for school. And they would bring something in English, translate to Portuguese. And I would always try to get some opportunity to make more money on the side. So using my language skills. And it started as a side thing while I was teaching. And then it actually carried me through college. That's how I paid for college. And I've been doing that ever since. So it's been 25 years now, like I said, and I just wouldn't have it any other way.
Wow, that's amazing. As you probably know, we talk a lot about smart habits here on a podcast. And for us, smart habits are those things that help you with your work and everyday life. So we're eager to hear what are some smart habits that have been crucial in your career.
Sure. I think the main thing is organization. I think that having a mild case of OCD helped me just make sure that everything is under control, because then I can just know what I'm supposed to be doing, when projects are due, what I have to focus more during the day. So by being organized and keeping my Google Calendar very nicely color coordinated, it really helps me be more productive, because I can just make decisions of what is urgent, what is important, what can be shifted around. And I just keep trying to find ways to optimize my time. So I think that that's one of the habits that I've had since I was a student, how to organize myself to study for a test. And I just carried on to my professional side to just have it all under control. So when I'm done with a project, I can just, you know, walk away and enjoy the rest of my life. But if I just didn't have that kind of organization, you'd definitely be chaos, and I would be missing deadlines, or I would have to burn the midnight oil all the time, which I'm too old to do now. So it's just really good that I have that kind of personality that I like to just coordinate everything and then just walk away when I can.
Oh, I love hearing about you color coding your Google Calendar. I did the same thing, and it's so helpful.
Not just that, but my Gmail also, because even though I have a professional email address through Word Awareness, my company, we just use Gmail as the environment to manage our messages. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that they have the little stars and little icons. So I know that if it's something that I'm working on, it's a yellow star. If it's something that I'm assigning to a colleague, it's an orange star. So I can actually just see everything, and I'm very visual. So having the Google Calendar and Gmail organized, it's just, that's how I work.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I use those icons too. I love those. That's great. Isn't it interesting that each one means something different to whoever created the system too, you know, so you can really personalize that.
Exactly. And I was just thinking the other day that like I do a lot of literary or book translation. Sometimes it's not literature, it's nonfiction, but I associate green with it for some reason, because on my calendar, my literary calendar is green. And then I use the green star for my messages from authors or anything doing anything related to literary efforts. And I don't know, they say that it's because it's more peaceful or something. So I guess it's related to, you know, something more laid back. And that's what I wanted to do when I figure out that there was someone on the other side of a book that translated a book. So maybe just puts me in that frame of mind when I'm working with book translations.
Very cool. Well, Hafa, between your business, the courses you teach, your podcast and other activities, you have a lot of things to juggle, and you've started telling us about this already, but how do you manage all the projects and tasks and activities that you have on your plate? And besides the systems you told us about, do you have any other processes or habits in place that help you to stay organized?
Well, because I just had this need to grow the business after I moved to California. I had already been translating for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And then when I started my business here and clients started having different requests, for example, I was already translating Spanish to English and Portuguese, but I do not translate to this day into Spanish. Mm-hmm. So when those requests start coming in, oh, can you translate this document to both Portuguese and Spanish? I had to go and find someone that I could rely on. And we've been working together for 18 years now, longer than a lot of marriages. So it is just great that, you know, I could find people, and that just added another component to the business of how not just managing my own projects, but managing projects that my colleagues work on. So I had to just really structure in a way that would help me help my colleagues and meet the translators, meet the clients' requests, and also do my own translations. So I had to just, you know, put it all together. And in 2008, after my daughter was born, we were able to kind of shift things around, because then my husband started working with me. So we could just be, you know, pick up where the other one left off with raising our daughter. And then our son came in 4 years later and also taking care of our business. So I had to let go of a lot of the technical things that I was doing myself until that point, because he has a very strong background in technology. So for example, if something happens to my computer right now, I can just get up, get the laptop, go work somewhere else while he fixes it. So I don't have to worry about that as I used to in the past. So having someone that actually will complement your skills, whether it is like, you know, in my case, my husband helping me with the technology part when I can't have downtime, I have to keep working on a translation, or having someone that will complement your skills language-wise, like someone from Spanish, someone from Portugal, because I translate for Brazil. Yeah. So finding those people that would just complement, you know, some part of your business is just crucial. So that's one of the things that I see that has happened, you know, and it has helped my business grow in these 25 years.
That's amazing. And that's a very good tip in general for anybody, because there are also things that maybe we could be doing, or even if we don't do well, that others can do better. And that is very helpful for diversifying and growing your business. So how do you decide which aspect of your business needs more attention right now, for example? What's your process for setting priorities?
Well, it goes back to the color coordination. So I can see that if there's a deadline, it's something that's going to be red, right? It makes sense. So it's an emergency. And I know that those things I cannot move on the calendar, because if the client needs the translation by such date and such time, that would just stay there. And I know that I cannot shift things around. So that's one of the things that I do. The deadlines are hard deadlines, and I don't like changing deadlines on clients unless they add something. You know, if they change the scope of the project, then we have to talk about it. But if it's a very straight up project that needs a certain delivery time and day, that cannot be moved. So I shift everything around it, and just having that visual cue really helps to just see what's a priority, what's urgent. And I like to have all my side projects, you know, like you were mentioning. So I try to see, okay, if I have to record a podcast, it has to be a time that the kids are not at home, so it's quiet. So I do that according to my family, according to my projects going on, according to the deadlines. So I think it became intuitive after a while. And because, like I said, I have this personality that I want to get work done so I can just walk away. Having office hours is just crucial. So I work from 9 to 4, and I can just, you know, do other things before or after my office hours. I can decide to work after that, but then I just stop replying to clients because that's, you know, what I said is my office hours. So having that kind of mind frame and just having that mindset really helps to organize everything and say, okay, this is priority, that's urgent, and this is not an emergency, I can leave it for later.
That's great. Takes a lot of discipline to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah, and he also touched on the topic of boundaries, which we always love discussing with our guests, especially. It's so important to have boundaries in professional lives, and it can be really hard to do when you're a freelancer and when you work from home, because your work is always there and you really care about it. So what other boundaries have you set in your professional life, and how do you maintain them?
Well, the main thing I think that helps is just telling clients that I'm there for them to help them, but I'm not their employee. And I actually recorded an episode about that at the beginning of the Translation Confessional podcast, setting boundaries. And client just started kind of acting like I was the employee. And I kind of jokingly, half jokingly said, hey, are you going to pay me benefits? Because if you need me to comply with your schedule, that's, you know, that's an employee. That's not a contractor. That's not a freelancer. So I'm here to help you. I never miss the deadline, but don't treat me like you owe me. So that's one thing that, you know, if you have that opening with a client to just kind of, you know, jokingly, you know, laughing on the phone, hey, are you going to pay me for my, you know, retirement or 401k or something? They kind of see that it's, oh, I'm crossing that line. I should not do that. Yeah. So that's one way to just impose yourself as, hey, I'm my own boss, and I will work with you, but not for you. Right. Other things, like I said, office hours really help, because I know of some translators that are really, you know, overworked and stressed because they're trying to meet their clients' time zones. And just sometimes it's realistic if you are, you know, someone that wakes up too early or goes to bed too late and it matches where your client is, perfect. But I'm in California. I'm kind of behind everybody, you know, except for Hawaii. So when you just check the time zones, I'm working my own hours You know, I have a family. It's not like I can go, you know, work overnight all the time. So if the client needs something done, they're going to have to do some planning too, to send me projects that will be able to fit into my schedule, like I said, from 9 to 4. And if they need anything outside that, that's overtime. And I explain to the client, we can do this much within 24 hours. If it's past that, you either change your deadline or you're going to have to pay for overtime, because that's how you would do in a regular office, right? If you need to keep an employee past work hours, you're going to have to pay overtime. So I try to just set the boundaries like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so important to speak up, and I think many people don't do that. So that's a great example. Well, let's shift topics a little bit and talk about finding your niche and diversifying. And we think that you're a great example of doing that, finding your niche and diversifying within your areas of expertise and finding great areas of specialization for yourself. So what are your thoughts on diversification for translators? And do you have any tips for other colleagues who are thinking of diversifying?
Sure. I'm all for diversification. I always tell my students to try to find not just one thing, unless you are going to be that person, you know, very high demand, that I only translate Danish to Japanese legal projects. Mm-hmm. You're going to be the only one that, you know, everyone will come to you. But if you're just in a very popular language combination, like English to Spanish, English to Portuguese, there are a lot of us out there. So you have to just find a way to stand out and doing something that you're good at. So, for example, I'm not good at legal translations at all. I find people who are, and I assign it to them. So I know that that's something that I would not be working on. What can I actually do? I'm good with creative translations and technology related translations and corporate, because I was trained to do that as a journalist, to write corporate material. So I'm good at translating that. So just finding those things that you're good at and just sticking to that. And it doesn't have to be just one thing. Like I said, unless you're unique in your combination, I can understand, but there are many people that are going to be offering the same kind of services. So you have to just find a way to stand out by going the extra mile. So if you translate and you also know how to do page formatting, so you help with another component, another service that you can offer to your clients. So not just language-wise, not just a field of specialization, but also an additional project. For example, clients need some scripts translated for voiceover recording. So I can translate that, and I can also record it in either Portuguese or English. So just finding that thing and also realizing that it's not going to happen overnight, because for you to learn a different skill or for you to shift a little bit, you're going to have to invest in your education. You're going to have to invest your time to get better and to get, for example, hardware or software that you need. So it's something that it's a long-term plan. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, oh, from now on, I will translate legal projects. Okay, but do you know anything about it? Do you have the resources that you need? No, people actually take, you know, years learning a specialization. So I'm all for diversification, but I'm always telling my students, find something you're interested in or find something in your professional life that will help you, and then learn. So in months or in a couple of years, you can start offering that service, because it doesn't happen overnight.
That's a really good point. And it reminds me of something that I heard Abigail Dahlberg say on a podcast once before. She's a colleague of ours that works into, she works into German, right? And she works in the area of sustainability and environment. She's known for that, right? And so she started out working mostly, I think, just in translation, and she's adapted that into working into copywriting as well. So, but in the same area, which, you know, that's an interesting way to think about it too. Could be same area of specialization, different service that's very much needed. So
exactly. And you also can go after the demand, right? It was funny because it's been almost 10 years now, and I did my first presentation at the ATA. It was about book translations. So I was just sharing my experience mm-hmm. working with self-published authors and trying to help bring their books into either Portuguese or English. And after the presentation, someone came to me. She's a German translator. And she said, you know, I'm really inspired by it. I always wanted to translate books. And now you gave me so many ideas. Thank you so much. A few months later, I think maybe a year later, I started seeing mm-hmm. how her business actually boomed because she went all into it. I think she was a technical translator for English to German. And she now she only does that, only book translations. And it's amazing to see how someone that had, you know, such a completely different specialization went into it. It was something that, you know, she always wanted to do, but then she found that there was a very big demand for that. And she's been doing, as far as I know, she's been doing that for almost 10 years now. So it's just finding your That's passion awesome. And finding also the demand. And when you can combine those two, then it's you can just do that forever.
Mm-hmm. And finding clients who are also passionate about the same area can be very helpful. And by the way, I just said Abigail translates into German. I think it's German to English. But anyway, she's super skilled and she's a good example of exactly what you're talking about. So I think that, you know, that's an interesting way to think about it from a different perspective, because I think a lot of people do struggle with the specializations and what they want to actually do, you know. So, yeah. Well, Hafa, you teach a course on tools and technology for translators, and you also wrote a book on this topic. So how do you find the time to stay up to date on tools and technology, as well as issues maybe in our profession or your clients' areas?
Well, because I come from that background, I have what would be an equivalent to an associate's degree in data processing. It was something that mm-hmm. I did combined with high school. So it was a technical high school in Brazil. I had all the regular, you know, high school subjects, but we also went and did coding. And I'm talking about mid-1990s. So coding has changed a lot, but coding mm-hmm. and some page designing and all the things that go into actually using the computers for you to work at an organization. So I had that going and I just kept my interests. I cannot code that well, but mm-hmm. I always like the visual mm-hmm. aspect of things. So all the design classes that we had, I took that into my journalism bachelor's degree. So I just kept the visual part of it. But like I said, 1995, when I started high school, things were completely different as far as technology. There's just, you know, mm-hmm. 100 years and, you know, 20 something years that so many things changed. And sometimes I tell people, it's like, you know, respect me because I'm a translator from back when we didn't have Google. So I couldn't Google things. Yeah. You know? I started yeah. 1 year exactly. before Google started. So it's like, you know, respect my gray hair and my, you know, the hustle that mm-hmm. we had to have to just make sure that we could find information without Google. Mm-hmm. But it just, yeah. it because I do like it, like I said, I don't code anymore, but I'm a very good, you know, expert user of computers. I like learning new programs. I like learning new apps. And I'm always looking out for it. And because I'm married to someone who also has that kind of passion, sometimes we just, you know, have a date night watching YouTube and videos that talk about, oh, there's an app for this, there's an app for that. We enjoy doing that.
Oh, interesting.
So that's how we learn more about things that can help us, maybe, you know, for the business or maybe for something that we're doing with the kids. So it's just, you have to always have that interest in trying to recycle your knowledge. And as translators, not just with the technology that we use, but with the language, because our language has evolved mm-hmm. too. So if you want to be a translator or interpreter and think that, you know, once you finish school, when you have a degree, you're set for life. No, you're going to be learning new things for the rest of your life mm-hmm. as a translator or interpreter.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And what you were saying about learning new things and being curious and excited about it, that helps a lot when you actually really enjoy the topic too. And we heard the same thing from Nora Diaz, who was on our podcast just recently as well. And yeah, it's just a great way to continue learning. And I think that's awesome that you shared the same thing. So, Hafa, we talk a lot about work-life clarity rather than work-life balance on our podcast. And this is a concept we heard about from the Deliberate Freelancer podcast. And it really resonated with us and seems to resonate with a lot of our guests. And we feel that work-life clarity is really important for freelancers and small business owners alike. What are your thoughts on this? And how do you try to protect the boundaries between work and personal life?
Well, besides the client education efforts that I talked about of just making sure that you impose yourself mm-hmm. and say, no, this is what I can do for you, but don't cross the line. I think that having kids, mm-hmm. having a family actually really puts things into perspective because you can't just, you know, tell your kid to hold on while you're trying to finish a job because, you know, their needs, especially when they're, you know, small, you have to change diapers, you have to feed, you have to take them out, you know, to walk and play. So it's, it just really helps have that mental clarity of what is needed and, you know, how to organize yourself to play both roles, the freelancer, the business owner, and also the parent. So I think that that's one of the things that definitely helped even boost my business. I mean, if I think about, you know, when I had my daughter, 2008, and how the business changed, I would say that they've been growing both together at the same time. And then when you add another kid in the mix, that's also things change because kids are not the same. So they'll have different needs. I just remember that, you know, when I was pregnant with my daughter, I could sit all day and work and she would be just bouncing around in my belly, dancing to the music I was listening to. And then I would just know I'm done working. I'm going to lay down on the couch or go to bed and she would be quiet, no problem. With my son, was completely different. I would be working, he would be quiet all day. As soon as I would just get some rest, he would just start dancing in my belly. So all those things just really give you some kind of the tools that you need to just say, okay, hold on, what do I have to do now to just make sure that I'm, you know, covering all bases? So you have to think about your priorities, not just for the business, but for your life. Mm-hmm. And I have very energetic kids. So we have to just get ourselves out the door on the weekends. And like, you know, this past weekend, my daughter's a soccer player, so we're running to the high school nearby, and she's running with the soccer ball at the same time. I'm following on the bike. My son is on the bike with me. And then we mm-hmm. go play, do something, come back, because if we don't have that time to just help them burn off the energy, definitely it's going to be chaos. And there are mm-hmm. some other times that we just say, you know, go walk with the dog, you know, come back in 15 minutes because I need to record a podcast episode or something. So it's just knowing what you can, you know, how you can maneuver through your business and mm-hmm. personal life and try to not make any of them suffer, right? You can yeah. actually balance things. And as soon as you have that kind of clarity, like Zed.
Yeah, this is so true. Oh, thank you so much, Hafa. This was a great conversation, and we're really grateful that you joined us today. You shared excellent advice that will inspire our listeners, no doubt. But before we go, we'd love it if you join us for a special segment. We like to ask our guests to share something with our listeners about a favorite book, gadget, tool, or resource, and we call this segment Guest Favorites. So is there anything that you'd like to recommend?
Yes. If there are any Portuguese translators out there, either because they work from Portuguese or into Portuguese, I like to recommend translators101.com.br because it's like a Netflix for translators. They have so many resources, so many lectures, so many little live sessions that it's just something that I've been recommending to everyone that works with Portuguese, because it really help you learn about different specializations, improve things that you already know that maybe will help you recycle your knowledge. So that's definitely a website that you should check out. It's a wonderful platform that was put together by a dear friend of mine, but most importantly, a former president of ABRACES, the Brazilian Translators Association. And he just brought so many people together to share their knowledge that it's something really valuable. It's just a treasure. So anyone working with Portuguese, definitely should give it a try. Translators 101. Besides that, because I've been seeing this growth in audiovisual, not just translations, but also recording, because everything is online, especially with the pandemic. There's so many more people that are requesting translations and recording. So I have some hardware that I would like to recommend, such as a good professional microphone. And I have one by Audio Technica, and then also headphones, because you have to listen to your recording and make sure you're editing it correctly. I had a lot of practice with that with a podcast. So I also like my Bose earphones because they're wireless and I can just listen to interviews or recordings that I did while I'm walking around the house doing other things. And I can just do some, you know, mental notes of like, oh, I have to edit this out, or I have to shift something around, or I have to clean this, you know, airplane that was flying by. So I have to just remove that from the audio. So it's really good to just get a good quality audio recording hardware, because even if you're not working with audio recording as a professional for voiceover projects, for example, if you're an interpreter, it's very good that you have a good microphone and good earphones so you can hear what's going on and you can interpret accordingly. And just with all the meetings that we're having, even if you're not doing something professional for recording, just having good quality sound is great for all your professional meetings.
Wow, those are great tips. And we will include all of those links in our show notes. So anybody who wants to see what Hafa is recommending, we will do that for you. So be sure to check the show notes. Well, thanks again for joining us, Hafa. We know that our colleagues and listeners will love hearing from you as much as we did. And before we go, where can our colleagues learn more about you or find you online?
I am literally everywhere. So I do have my professional website, hafalombardino.com. So it's a long name. Take a look at the show notes so you can see the spell. But it's where I put everything there, all my classes, my little sessions, the podcast is there. But you can also find me on Facebook. I have a professional page that I keep updated with articles about translation, about interpreting. So I see that a lot of people like to read those articles. I'm on Instagram. I have the podcast is on YouTube, and I have a YouTube playlist for tools and technology and translation where I expand things that I talk about in class. So besides just recording those videos for my student, I also make them available on YouTube. So pretty much you can find me everywhere. Just Google me.
Perfect. Perfect. And we'll put those links in our show notes too.
Yes. And to our listeners, be sure to check out Hafa's podcast and YouTube channel. Her podcast, The Translation Confessional, has a lot of great content. Thanks again, Hafa. And that's it for this episode. Later this week, our email subscribers will get a summary of this episode with all the links to the resources that we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving your emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you liked this episode, please follow our podcast, share it with your colleagues and friends, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. This only takes a minute, and we've recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. You'll find a link to that in our show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.